Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. Welcome back to Create the Movement podcast. This is Brad Post, and I'm really excited today to introduce a celebrity, but a good friend of mine as well. He is the inventor of Snapchat. Is that right, John Cora?
Well, if you ask my local newspaper, yes, I am indeed the inventor of Snapchat. I stay humble by driving a 15-year-old car and dressing right. Like everyone else.
Exactly. Well, you want to? Can you share that story real quick?
Sure. So what happened was I was volunteering at a Comic-Con here locally. My where I went to undergrad, West Virginia University at Parkersburg, they were having their first ever Comic-Con, and they wanted some Snapchat filters for the event. So I'm like, you know what? I love doing that. I'll make them and donate them to the event. So the local newspaper came by and they interviewed me and they were like, what's the Snapchat thing you're talking about? And I tried to explain to them how filters work. And the person who was doing the interview was older and not big on social media. And he didn't quite understand how Snapchat worked whatsoever. When the story ran in the paper the next day, they listed me as the inventor of Snapchat, and that's been an ongoing joke ever since, that I just happened to invent this service that, you know, millions of people use, but I'm, you know, from Parkersburg, and I live a humble life just like everyone else.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We, John and I have been friends for, I'd say, 5 years, friends and business acquaintances. We've worked with businesses together. He's up with Jan Dill's Attorneys at Law, doing some awesome work for veterans up there, and fightforvets.com. Correct, John?
Yes, sir. I think it just got redesigned, didn't it? Some awesome web hosting company did that for
it
us.
It sure did. We are very proud of it. Yes, we redesigned that and launched, I believe, just last week. So it's looking good. Well, John, can you share a little bit kind of about yourself and your history? And
sure. Well, you know, you mentioned that we've been friends for 5 years, and I've actually been with the company, Jan Dill's Attorneys at Law, for almost six. Actually, March 21st will be my six-year anniversary with the firm, so it's hard to believe that I've been doing this that long.
Happy anniversary. That's exciting.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's weird because I came here when I was still in graduate school. I was working on my master's degree in corporate communication from WVU. And it was a horrible story. The place I worked for previously, they shut down on my birthday. So I was out of work on my birthday, and I had no idea what was happening. And I applied. Jan's been in this community for, well, her whole life, but her firm's been around since 94. So I knew of the firm, but I wasn't quite sure what they did. I just happened to have applied one day, got a call back, started working doing what we then called client status updates for veterans. And then I approached her one day. I'm like, we should probably do more stuff on social media. And it started out as a part-time position for me. Then it kind of grew. And since then, I've actually since become full-time in social media and community outreach. And it's really neat because I've seen how much it's changed in the past 5 to 6 years, how it's grown as a whole. I mean, if I think back to when I first started doing social media in 2011, we didn't even have, like, you know, cover photos on Facebook, and no one did Facebook advertising hardly. And it was just, you know, it's all different now. And that's what I like about it. It's how much it changes. I think what's neat about using social media for business. But
if I remember correctly, John, when you and I first became friends, you weren't even on Facebook. Is that correct?
You are correct. I was a late bloomer to Facebook. Yeah. I was, and that's actually the Snapchat story will parallel that as well. Mm-hmm. I studied corporate communications in college, and I studied how, you know, if anyone is familiar with communications at all, social penetration theory, and how social media essentially destroys that. So all through college, I was really against social media as a whole. I didn't want to be any part of it. I thought it was going to ruin our country and ruin our society, and it still may do that. I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But I learned shortly after, like, using this for business is amazing. And then when I approach social media with, the marketing mind instead of the, communications mind or instead of the social mind, I'm like, wow, it can be used for a lot of good instead. So that was one of the great things about just, changing my approach to it. And I didn't join Facebook until 2012,
Okay.
which people probably think I'm crazy for that because, heck, it's been around since 2004, and everyone else was on it way before I was. But I was a late bloomer. I'm glad I'm on it now, but
Yeah.
at the time I
I
was very
remember
hesitant.
giving you a hard time going, "Now, John, you're the social media person over at Jane Dills, and you're not even on Facebook." And you of course, made probably a sly remark to that, if I can say that.
And now you see all
Well,
my little memes and everything every day, don't you?
exactly. Well, what is your approach to Snapchat? I know you said you're kind of a late bloomer.
I think my original fears about Snapchat are probably what a lot of your listeners are having issues with Snapchat as well. I thought it was kind of like, if you remember the old service, which it may still be around, but like chat roulette. I thought that's what Snapchat was. I'm like, no, I don't want to be on that. It's too adult oriented, and I thought that's all it was. However, my sister, who is way cooler than I am, and she'll tell you that also, even from her car to her clothes, she always does things cooler than I do. She was on it, and she's like, "No, John, you're wrong. It's not what it's about." So she actually talked me into downloading it one day, and I remember that I was bored and sitting in a Taco Bell drive-thru, which honestly, you can find me in a Taco Bell drive-thru most days. I was bored, and I'm like, I want to play with this app real quick. So I took a picture, and then I started, swiping through the filters, and I'm like, wait, Taco Bell has their own filter for, I'm like, I'm here, they know I'm here, and they have a filter just for people who are at the restaurant. And honestly, that's what sold me on Snapchat was the filters. And that's why I've gotten so much use out of it now from a marketing standpoint. Filters in my mind are like, especially the geo filters are the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome. What so geo filters that kind of ties me into the next question. What kind of things do you think our listeners could immediately start using for their business? So you, like create a geo filter. I know you created one for the it was Operation Transportation. Is that correct? Okay.
So, and just to give everyone like a little bit of a history, or not even a history, like a lesson on Snapchat, a lot of people know like the things that will make your face look silly. Those are called lenses, and some companies sponsor those. But unless you're like, GE or NBC Universal or something like that, that's probably not in your budget just because it's so expensive. I mean, we're talking about, anywhere from, hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions, just, depending upon how elaborate you go. So those are lenses. Then you have filters, which are broken down into two different types. You have geo filters and on-demand filters. And I kind of misspoke earlier. Taco Bell's filter was an on-demand filter, not a geo filter. So
Okay.
a geo filter is, let's say you go to your office in Tulsa and you just start looking around, you take a picture, and there's a Tulsa, Oklahoma filter. That's a geo filter. It's community-based. No one pays for it. It's just to celebrate the community that you're in. I made one here for Parkersburg, West Virginia. You can take a photo and put our Parkersburg filter over top of it, and everyone can see where you were that day. It's kind of cool because it's almost like a visual scrapbook of your life. And it's, live and everything.
And you
Now,
can see that picture on our blog entitled A Snapchat Story by John Cora, correct? The one that has since 1810.
yes, exactly. That's the one I designed. And it's actually what's nice about that one is the photo was taken in front of the inspiration for the filter. It's our flood wall, which, all cool cities have flood walls,
Yeah.
and it says "Welcome to Parkersburg." So it mimics that, and I happened to be out on a boat that day, and like, well, I'm gonna take a picture in front of the inspiration. So, it's very meta, if you will. So yeah, that's a geo filter. Now, an on-demand filter is one that you pay for. So, an on-demand filter can be about your business. It's still based off of a location, but on-demand filters are where you can actually pay to have your logo on there or pay to promote something through Snapchat. And that's really what I use the most now. I mean, it's still fun to make a community filter, but at the end of the day, you can't really sell your products on that because you can't use logos or anything. So, an on-demand filter is what most people use now just to market. And that's the way it's set up is, you can design it, and then you go through Snapchat's upload process, which is very simple. Then you pick an area in which you want that to be used, and you set it through a geofence. It's real simple, and if anyone ever needs help with it, I'll be happy to walk them through it. And then it exists for whatever period of time that you set it for. Generally, I do like 3 hours, and I've used them for several different events, like not just for the firm here, but sometimes I use them for fun, for like birthday parties or like for instance, one day we had a coworker who was leaving the firm, so we made a goodbye geo or goodbye demand filter for her, and it's really a cool way to just do something that's a little different on social media. I mean, everyone's on Facebook and everyone's on Twitter, but Snapchat's still something new and exciting, and I think if a lot of people see that you're using it, they're gonna realize that you're a brand that's different than everyone else.
That's good. That's good. We'll kind of move on to the next question, kind of shifting questions. But what's the one thing that's really exciting to you in your business right now? I know you're doing a lot of things for veterans. And actually, John, if you could let us know, some of the things that you're doing for the veterans through Fight for Vets and Jan
Sure.
Dills.
Well, our firm we do fight we do veterans disability, we do social security disability and personal injury. Those are our three areas of focus. And for veterans, it's something right now where it's really in demand, and it's one of those things where it's almost that you hate to be in this business because so many veterans need assistance who aren't getting it right now. And it sometimes boggles the mind that how many veterans aren't aware that they can even get, disability compensation. And what I've learned through my blog, which you all also host, which is veterandisabilityblog.com, is there's a lot of misconceptions out there about like stuff like PTSD, for instance. And a lot of people will let those misconceptions keep them from either filing for disability benefits or even getting the treatment that they need. I know just one of my most popular blogs ever has to do with like, can a veteran own a gun if he or she has PTSD? Most people think that they can't, and it's not true. There's different levels, and I go into all the detail about that. And I've gotten so many calls from veterans that have said that that blog has helped them more than they ever realized because they can now get treatment because they're not afraid of like, losing their gun rights or anything. So it's nice to be able to provide that type of insight to people and even help them out more than I ever realized I could.
It's exciting. I know you talk a lot about community, or you talked a lot about community and kind of some of the things that you did in the community. Could you maybe give us just a recap? I was going to say brief, but you did quite a bit of things that you guys did in 2016.
Well, as community involvement is one of the most important things for any business right now. We know our customers demand it, and it's honestly one of the things that gets us the most likes on Facebook or the most retweets on Twitter is anytime we're involved in the community. And Jan's really a big fan of the Mid-Ohio Valley. When she graduated law school, she could have went anywhere to be an attorney, but she chose to stay where she grew up. And it's something that we feel so connected to the Mid-Ohio Valley that we wanted to give back. One of the ways we've done that in the past and continuing to go forward is giving back to veterans. We've had the Walk for Vets a few times in the past where we raise money for local veterans charities, and that's through Jan's foundation, the Walk for Vets Foundation. But this year, or I should say in 2016, we did something a little different. We helped establish a group called Operation Transportation. And what that is a community initiative where it's not just us, but a lot of other businesses are involved in raising money for veterans to receive bus passes through our local transit authority. And it started back in September of 2016, and it was successful within just a few months. We raised almost $4,000 to provide bus passes for veterans here.
Wow.
Honestly, we just got a few people on board. We did some fundraisers at Lowe's. Businesses like ours donated as well. We had our annual spaghetti dinner the day before Veterans Day. That raised on its own $1,000. People in the community gave so much that night. And the program is already in place. I actually have one of the passes here on my desk that veterans can use to get free bus rides, essentially. Normally, a bus pass here in Parkersburg would cost, I think, like $32 per month. They get them for free now, as long as they pass our application process, and they can go and ride as much as they need to. And we find it's such an issue in this community, and probably yours too, probably any area in the United States right now. Veterans don't have access to transportation.
Right.
In this way, they can go to their doctor's appointments. They can come see us if they need help with a VA disability claim, or they can even go to the grocery store now because they have access to transportation.
That's great. And you said it started in when in 2016?
September.
September. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
So it's
exciting.
not even 6 months old yet.
No kidding. That's and you've already raised 4,000. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, kind of moving on. What's the best business advice, John, that you've ever received?
Good question. Honestly, that one would have to go back to our leader here, Jan. Jan's jingle is that, she doesn't take no for an answer. And before I worked here, I was like, well, that's just a jingle. That's just, what she says, or it's, something that she paid an advertising company for. And I turned out I was wrong. A few years ago, we were just talking, she and I, and I asked her, I'm like, Jan, how did that all come about? How did that slogan come about? And she said that it actually came from her youth and her childhood when people would tell her that she wouldn't be able to do things. One time it was that she couldn't make the high school basketball team. And it turns out that she ended up becoming like an all-state champion because of her efforts towards that. And at the time, and it's hard to believe that 1994 was 22 years ago. But for her, a female attorney opening her own firm was somewhat unheard of, especially here in West Virginia. So she had a lot of doubters, and she just said, like, they always said no, but I had to tell them that, or I had to prove to them why I couldn't let them say no. So that's always been a thing. Just because of who you are doesn't mean you can't be successful.
That's great.
And that applies to me too, just because I've always been hesitant, even though I went to graduate school and everything. I've never felt like someone from West Virginia could be anything. And just to prove that, don't let these things hold you back, essentially is what I got from that. Don't let, people's opinions hold you back.
That's good. That's really good, John.
Thank you.
What's any books that you would recommend to our listener? Listeners, not booze,
Yeah.
but books.
Sure, books. There's actually several, or I'll only give three. I've actually recently discovered Audible on, because once again I'm a late bloomer. It's the greatest thing in the world. But there's the first book that ever really just caught my eye for marketing, and I don't think a lot of people know of this book or this author. The book is called Obsessive Branding Disorder, or OBD. And it's by a gentleman named Lucas Conley. And it kind of approaches marketing like I do, about how so much stuff is integrated now with each other, and how there's so much cross promotion in our mainstream society now. I mean, you even see it like with Geico, for instance. Geico does commercials with other companies now to show how they're partners. And that book really hit on that for me. And honestly, it came out about 11 years ago, so it was somewhat ahead of the curve. But it's really, really great read, and it's a quick read too, or in my case, a quick listen. But it's a great book, and if you get a chance, pick that one up. Now, this is going back to my communication background, but it has to do with social media. And a great author, John Ronson, last year published a book called "So You've Been Publicly Shamed," and it's about how people approach social media almost how they did to public shaming back in the day, where you would essentially like just find ways to destroy people on social media. He gives the case of Justine Sacco, who I'm sure a lot of people don't know who she is off the top of their head, who made one bad comment on Twitter and it's followed her the rest of her life. He touches briefly in that book about how brands are messed up too. There's been a few brands here recently who just, made horrible mistakes on Twitter. It's always Twitter too. It's never Facebook. It's always Twitter who people make mistakes on. But like for instance, like 9/11, there was one brand, and I can't remember off the top of my head, who just shouldn't have posted what they did about 9/11. It was like an Oreo company or something like that, or like a cookie company or something. And he goes into detail about that. And the last book I want to just recommend, and this is completely different, but it goes back to what I was saying about like my discussion with Jan, was it's a book called Why Not Me by actress Mindy Kaling. And it has a lot to do with confidence, and for her being an actress of Indian descent in Hollywood, and how she didn't let that keep her from pursuing her dreams.
That's exciting. Good. What are there any podcasts that you're listening to right now, John?
Of course, yours for one.
Thank you. Yes. Good answer.
That's one of my favorites. I feel kind of like mine are kind of basic. I love the Freakonomics podcast. If
That's
you've
a
ever
good one.
read the book, that's another book too. You must read Freakonomics. That's a good one. I listen to the Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick, because gotta enjoy your hobbies there too. I listen. Most of mine are for entertainment. I will say that I listen to How Did This Get Made, which is a great one about like horrible movies and how did they get made? They're so horrible. And those are like the three I listen to the most.
Good stuff. Well, John, is there anything that we left out that you want to share with our listeners?
I want to encourage everyone to actually just try Snapchat, and you don't even have to have like a company Snapchat account to do it. Just to give people an idea of how successful it can be, which is something I probably should have hit on earlier. In 2016, I made 36 filters. Those were seen by 36,000 people, and they were used 155 times. The cost of all of that was only $360. Just to give one example, we did one at a football game, and a high school football game. Our population in Parkersburg is only 30,000. It was seen by almost 12,000 people that night. And it only cost us $17.
Really?
Yes. So the ROI on Snapchat, which is I do apologize for not hitting on that earlier. The ROI is great. It's $17 to be seen by 12,000 people in one evening is just insane.
No kidding. Some big numbers too. And you're at Cobra by Design on Snapchat,
Yes,
right?
sir. And
And
on Twitter and on Instagram, which I hate Instagram, it's stupid.
all right. And then
No
yeah, when
worries.
you have a chance, check out the new fight in the number 4vets.com.
Exactly.
And then also it's veteran disability blog, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, singular. Just veterandisabilityblog.com. No S on veteran.
You'll find John's writings there, and same with fightforvets.com, and same with jandills.com. So awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today, John, the inventor of Snapchat.
Brad, thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast, and I do appreciate all you all do for us. And we have a good time together, and I always enjoyed our relationship.
Absolutely, I do as well. Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.